And good morning. It is now 9:33. Welcome into the MRMC Doctor's Office program on our Tuesday morning on Quicks and Quicks FM. Today we're going to have Trent Link with us, nurse practitioner at Sheraton Valley Family Healthcare, and we're going to talk a little bit about strokes. Trent, how are you today?
I'm good.
Do you like this 9-degree weather we got for you overnight?
It's a little cold.
does the cold weather, and all kidding aside, does that present some challenges to the body, especially for the young and the elderly?
Absolutely. It's very, very, very important to, especially with the elderly, to make sure that they are taken care of and not exposed to the cold temperatures for a prolonged time.
Okay, and how about for babies, too? Does that become something you need to keep an eye on?
Of course. Yes, definitely do not expose anyone for any period of time to these cold temperatures.
All right, before we hit on the strokes, let me ask you about what we mentioned the last time you were on. Are you still seeing some cases of the flu come by?
So far, it's numbers have been kind of low so far, so I don't think we're too far into the flu season so far.
All right. When does that traditionally really kick in?
It varies by season. I think probably, as late as everything seems to be starting, we're looking at probably more of a later onset, maybe January, February, even March.
All right, and if you have a question for Trent, feel free to give us a call, 263-2424 or 800-892-2300. We want to talk about strokes a little bit today, and Trent, in layman's terms, what is a stroke?
Well, a stroke is, you hear that term thrown out. A stroke is actually an injury to the brain. It occurs when something either blocks the blood supply to that part of the brain, or it's actually when bleeding actually occurs in the brain. So there's two different types of what we call strokes. There's an ischemic stroke, and that is where that blood flow is blocked to the brain. It's usually caused by like a blood clot or a fatty deposit, plaque, and that happens when it gets into an artery, and that blocks the flow of blood to the brain. The other type of stroke is a hemorrhagic stroke. That is where an actual blood vessel bursts inside of the brain tissue, and that causes a buildup of blood. And unfortunately, our brain is in our protective skull. That does not allow for a whole lot of swelling, and with a buildup of the blood, that injures the brain. So those are the two main types, the two types of stroke. And that's pretty much what that is. And the main takeaway that I want to talk about today is recognizing those signs and symptoms of a stroke. So that, because when we talk about stroke, the most important factor here is time. Because the longer we go, time is tissue. So it's very, very important to recognize the signs and symptoms of a stroke.
And kind of with that in mind, that acronym FACE is pretty important, isn't it?
I actually use the FAST acronym.
FAST, I'm sorry.
Yes, that's okay. I use the FAST one, and F is for face drooping. So if you see any type of facial drooping, it's usually one-sided. That's a very, very important thing to recognize. The A is for arm weakness. They will have, if you try to raise their arms up and one arm drifts down or one arm is weak, then that's a pretty good indicator as well. The S stands for speech difficulty. Of course, anyone having a stroke will either have, they may not have slurred speech, but they'll be very confused and whatnot. So the T is the time to call 911. So it's very, very important to call EMS and get EMS activated. This is not someone that you would want to load up in your vehicle and drive to the hospital yourself. Because like I said, time is a very, very important factor with stroke. Some other symptoms that you may want to keep in mind, like I said, I talked about speech difficulty. There's also confusion, so just not making any sense when they're talking. They may have pretty clear speech, but they just may not make any sense. Sudden weakness on one side of the body. Other patients that I've seen have had just trouble with vision, trouble walking, dizziness, coordination issues, or even a really severe headache that was just a really sudden onset without any known cause. Those are all warning signs as well.
Trent, is there a difference, and I'll tell you why I'm asking this in a minute, but is there a difference between what's called a stroke and what is commonly referred to in layman's terms as a mini stroke or a TIA?
Yes. A TIA is different than a stroke. A TIA is what we call a transient ischemic attack. That's basically where the blood flow is interrupted for just a period of time, and it is actually, you know, a warning sign of an impending stroke. So it's not actually a stroke, but it is a warning sign of a stroke to come.
And my father, hey, who passed away more than 10 years ago, had a series of those. And those are kind of like a stroke, though, in that you don't want to ignore them, do you?
Yes, that's very correct. You do not want to ignore those signs.
Okay, so when someone starts to experience the symptoms of a stroke, or if you notice someone experiencing them, the time to act is right then, isn't it? You don't want to wait an hour and say, hey, maybe this will get better.
That is correct. Like I say, time is a very important factor. The main reason is the more time that passes, the more, you know, the more brain tissue that you lose. Because, like I say, with each passing minute, brain tissue is dying. So it's very, very important to activate EMS, because, you know, now we're getting to where we have specific stroke centers, which you can be rapidly transported to those locations, those facilities, especially when you do activate 911 and EMS and those type of things. There's a 3-hour window also in which you can be given what we call a thrombolytic. You know, if you do have one of those situations where you have a stroke that's a result of like a blood clot, then they can give you a thrombolytic, which can, you know, can thin your blood and hopefully improve your outcome. So that's why I say, you know, time is a very, very important factor.
Now, when you talk about strokes, are they hereditary at all, or is there any way to predict when one may occur?
Hereditary genetics does play a part, but it's very good that you brought that up. Prevention is a big thing, you know, when we talk about strokes. You know, you can't fight genetics. However,
no matter how hard you try, your mom and dad are who they are.
That's correct. However, you know, there are a lot of things that we can do now that we can help prevent strokes. According to the CDC, you know, up to about 80% of strokes are preventable. You talk about healthy diet, maintaining a healthy weight, getting plenty of physical activity, limiting your salt intake. But some other things that are very important, you know, just from my standpoint here in family practice, is control of diabetes, blood pressure control, and cholesterol management. All of those things can, you know, if all of those things are managed well, that significantly reduces your risk of stroke.
All right, if you have a question for Trent, 263-2424, toll-free, 800-892-2300. We've always heard, again, in layman's terms, that stress can lead to things like strokes and heart attacks. Is that the case? Is that what we see, too?
Well, I think stress contributes, you know, to high blood pressure, poor diet, you know, lots of things. And stress can also contribute to other things like, you know, bad habits like smoking and that sort of thing. So I think that is another issue, you know, as far as, you know, you say, you know, strokes and stress are related and that type of thing. But I think it's all more of a lifestyle. And like I say, prevention is a very important thing to keep in mind, especially when you look at like a family practice in just visiting your doctor, you know, on a yearly basis, so that you know, you keep an eye on everything, especially you, like your blood pressure. You know, you don't have any symptoms in regards to high blood pressure. You may be walking around with a high blood pressure, you just don't know it. And so it's very important to get an, you know, annual visit to your regular doctor and make sure that all those things are being managed.
Yeah, Trent, when I grew up in the late 60s, early 70s, Mom and Dad made sure that all the kids got what was called then a yearly physical from their primary care physician. Is that still pretty important?
Yes, that's the point that I'm getting at here, is that, you know, it's very, very important to follow up with your doctor, you know, at least once a year, just to get just a general physical. Like I say, just to make sure that everything is looking, you know, fairly normal, and that we don't have any concerns. You know, I have, you know, many a patient walk in with an elevated blood pressure and their cholesterol is just really, really high. And then, like I say, those are things that you don't know about unless you visit your primary care. And, you know, well, like I say, you don't have any symptoms. You don't have any symptoms with high cholesterol or with high blood pressure unless we check those things and we know for sure.
And when you talk about strokes, what age groups does this really impact?
Well, you know, when you think about strokes, you usually think the elderly, but however, you know, actually from about, you know, mid-40s and up, strokes are becoming a kind of a focus just because of a lot of the lifestyle, you know, things nowadays, you know, diet and whatnot. It's just a big concern, especially with and actually in women nowadays, women are almost five times more likely to have a stroke than men.
Now, why would that be?
Well, a lot of things like just birth control medicine that may raise a risk of in women just due to high blood pressure, and especially if the woman smokes, those birth control medicines, they just run that risk with stroke.
And I imagine that brings up a good point. Whether you combine medicine XYZ, whatever it may be, on top of smoking, on top of drinking, on top of not eating well, on top of not exercising, you put all those factors together, whether it's a stroke or whatever, you're going to have problems.
Yes, very, very, very correct. Yes, very correct.
All right. Trent Link is our guest from Sheraton Valley Family Healthcare. He's a nurse practitioner, and we invite your phone calls again, 263-2424, toll-free 800-892-2300. When someone suffers a stroke, can the body completely recover from something like this?
It depends on, you know, how much, you know, damage is done. You know, as like I say, and when we talk about the brain and the damage that's done with time, you know, it all depends on how much time has passed and that type of thing. You know, there is a possibility of recovering well if it is caught early, treated early, and everything, you know, there are some good outcomes.
All right. If someone presents with stroke symptoms, what's the general procedure that you would follow?
If someone presents to my clinic, of course, call 911 if I think that's what's going on. In the hospital setting, as soon as they present, you know, the good thing if they do present via like EMS, emergency medical services, the usual thing is, of course, first is a head CT. That head CT is very, very important in that it determines, you know, which type of stroke we're dealing with. Are we dealing with an ischemic stroke or the hemorrhagic stroke? Because you wouldn't want to give the thrombolytic, the clot busting drug, to someone who's already bleeding into the brain. So that would be a very, very, that's kind of where we start. So you make sure that, you know, you make sure of what you're dealing with as far as, you know, you obtain the head CT. And then, of course, they're referred immediately to like neurology right away. And then when we talk about the ischemic or the hemorrhagic strokes, they either have, if it's a ischemic stroke, like I say, you can be given the thrombolytics, or, you know, they may want to do an endovascular, I know that's a big word, it's a surgery where they would go up into a vessel and hopefully evacuate the clot or the plaque or whatnot. In a hemorrhagic stroke, they may do some type of surgery to help evacuate the bleeding in the clot. May use like a metal clip or something like that to slow the bleeding down in the brain.
Okay, I'm going to ask you to do something you never have to do in private practice. And that's to put on your psychiatrist hat for a minute.
Oh, my.
If I'm suffering or exhibiting some of these symptoms of a stroke, and my wife says, you need to go in now, we're calling 911, and I'm stubborn and don't want anything to do, how do you convince that person that this is urgent, we need to get this dealt with now?
I think you just have to make your executive decision at that point in time. You just kind of have to go above and beyond what that person says, because you're acting in the best interest of them, and they may be stubborn, but at the same time they may have some confusion from a stroke, so they may not know what's best for them to begin with. So you may just have to kind of overrule them a little bit.
The wife's in charge anyway. We all know that, Trent.
That's very correct.
You know, you mentioned generally, I don't want to put words in your mouth. You said 40 and above, but even if you're under 40, don't ignore these symptoms, because this can really hit people of any age, can it?
Yes, yeah. And like I said, there's a lot of attention coming to light about, you know, the importance of diet, weight control, and that type of thing. But yes, we are seeing strokes in the younger population, and it does happen. So it's very, very important to be able to recognize those symptoms. Another thing I did not mention, though, the importance of activating EMS is so that if you do suspect these symptoms, EMS can further evaluate things. I know with a lot of diabetics, a lot of the symptoms of low blood sugar do kind of mimic a stroke. So that's something to keep in mind is low blood sugar and checking a sugar on a diabetic patient.
Trent, can an accident of some kind, whether it's a fall or an auto accident, can that lead to a stroke too?
Well, like a fall, you're talking about like a head injury. That would be kind of typically the same, I guess it would be the same classification. It would be more of a hemorrhagic injury. It would be where you would bleed into the brain itself and cause all of that swelling and injury to the brain.
All right, so where are we going with the treatment and recognition of strokes in the next 10 to 15 years? Do you see that getting any better, any different?
I think, just from my standpoint, as I've been in this for 18 years, and I've seen, you know, it develop from, you know, it has become very, you know, we need to identify these symptoms quickly. We need to get them to where they need to be appropriately, you know, as far as a stroke center. And I think the outcomes are a lot better. The sooner that you recognize the signs and symptoms of a stroke and start getting them headed in the direction that they need to go as far as a stroke center, then I think that that's very, very key. And I think that you're going to continue to see that. I think that they're doing amazing things as far as, evacuating clots and surgery, you know, neurosurgery. I think they're making, taking big leaps forward.
Is it safe to say then, if someone's experiencing face, arm, speech, time, I got it right that time. If someone's experiencing one of those signs or symptoms, they think, or someone thinks they may be having a stroke, you don't want to see them in your office. They need to be, say, for instance, at the MRMC emergency room.
Correct. And like I say, just dial 911. And this isn't someone, like I say, you need to just load up and try and get to the doctor's office. This is somebody you need to dial 911 and get them to an ER.
Okay, as we get ready to wrap up, we've got just 3 or 4 minutes left in the program. We are coming up. We just passed Thanksgiving. We're headed into Christmas. What do we advise people then as far as the holidays are concerned, eating habits and that kind of thing? Put in a plug. What should folks do and not do?
I think just mainly just try to limit your salt intake. You know, try to get some physical activity, you know. Don't just become sedentary around the holidays, you know. And like I say, try and limit your salt intake. And try to, you know, keep in mind a fairly decent diet, you know. I know it's the holidays, but don't eat gravy by the gallons.
Hey, I'll give you another great example. My mom, my kid's grandmother, makes the best fudge in the world. I brought it into work today for folks here. Go ahead and have some, but don't have 25 pieces at one time, right?
That's correct. That's correct. Moderation.
Okay. How important is it before, and you mentioned eating right, we do need to exercise, before you start any kind of strict regimen, should you get looked at by someone?
Absolutely. Like I say, it's very, very important to see your primary care, you know, at least yearly. If anything, we just check, you know, some basic labs, make sure that your cholesterol is, you know, where it needs to be, or if we need to do something to work on that cholesterol issue, is your blood pressure managed, you know, or do you have high blood pressure? Like I say, those are things you don't know unless you get checked out, you know, on a yearly basis.
Is there a good diet out there trend, or is it just mainly, hey, you need to eat better?
I would avoid all the diet fads. I just try to limit your salt intake, limit, you know, the fatty fried stuff, and just kind of watch what you eat. And if you do like to eat a few things that aren't good for you, just moderation.
And how about something as simple as getting up, walking around the house a couple of times during commercials?
That's great, because like I say, the less sedentary we are, the better off we are.
Okay, if someone's interested in coming over to see you, I know you're in Salisbury. What's the best way for them to go ahead and get some information?
You can give us a call. We're at 660-388-7084. Or they can go on the website, Sheraton Valley Family Medicine.
All right. How busy has it been for you over the last month or so?
We've gotten a lot busier. getting a little bit busier. That's for sure.
Okay, and as we wrap up today, hey, we still got the snow and the ice. A good piece of advice for the elderly, especially.
Take your time. Do not get in any hurry in any of this type of weather. And my advice is, if it's really slick outside and you don't have to get out, stay indoors.
Yeah, broken hips, I understand, are one of the most painful things to try and recover from, aren't they?
Yeah, that is correct. That is very correct.
All right. Hey, Trent, thanks so much for being with us today. Have yourself a wonderful remainder of the day, and look forward to talking to you again.
Thank you, sir. Have a good day.
All right. That's going to wrap up the MRMC Doctor's Office program on Quicksland this morning.